on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Good evening. This is the Orient Hour. I hope we're all well this evening. Well, it is a season to be jolly, but I don't think Orient fans are particularly jolly at the moment. It's winter. Is it just leaves on the line, or is the Orient Express going off the tracks?
Does its job. Dean Cox again. This time it's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahoué. Capable of anything. Tahoué! Equaliser for Leighton Orient!
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10.
Welcome back, everybody. So we're here to review the last week or so what's happened at Leighton Orient FC. Just to take you through our panel this evening, on the buttons tonight, we have Richard Priest. Good evening, Richard.
Hello, mate.
We also have on the panel this evening Mr. Gareth Platt. Welcome, Gareth. How are you?
I'm good, great. How are you, mate?
Well, I'm not good. I've got the ump. But apart from that, yeah, so I'm good.
I think we've all got the ump. And last but certainly not least, we have former Orient stalwart and hero, Mr. Terry Howard. How are you, Terry?
Very good, thank you, Grant. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening to you, Terry. So, we'll crack on. The major thing is, of course, the debacle, I will call it, at Chesterfield on Sunday. I stood around in the freezing cold for 2 to 3 hours watching that, and I wasn't too happy. Guys, what do we think? Gareth?
From my point of view, I think it's probably the first time in a long time that I've actually felt disappointed by an Orient performance. As I said, it wasn't just the weather, it wasn't just the fact that we went out, but if you don't try and you don't expect a challenge and you're not up for that challenge, then you're not going to get anywhere. And I think it was just the inevitable defeat after the goal was just something I couldn't escape. And I think I spent most of the second half sulking, if I'm completely honest. So.
I think we all did. The first half performance really was quite woeful. As we'll hear shortly when Richie's interview. Terry, your views about the game?
Well, I think when you approach these games, the thing that you have to do is match the work rate and the intensity of the other side. And then the idea is that that bit of class comes through in the end. It doesn't sound like any of that happened. It sounds like we started poorly and it didn't get any better from there on in. And as you say, as Gareth just said, the thing that probably disappointed everyone was the fact that there just seemed such a there's like apathy about the performance on the weekend. You know, I've said before, going back, we'd always look forward to the second round because the potential of what you could get in the third round. I said, I wonder if players it affects them in the same way now, and it would appear that it doesn't.
For me, the first half performance was pretty poor, and again, I couldn't understand it. We had the draw before the game. I presume that the players would have known what the draw was. Maybe it wasn't the best draw in the world, but it was for me, it was a pretty good draw. It was more or less a local derby, a very good team at Watford. It would have been a fairly big crowd, and I think we'd have sold out our allocation, and it was a good tie to get, you know, out of everything we could. And that's what disappointed me. We haven't had a cup run for some time. We're relatively comfortable, sort of mid-table-ish in League One, albeit our form hasn't been great. And I just really felt that this year was a year we could have had a really good go at a cup run, and it didn't happen. Gareth, can you remember the last time we had a decent cup run?
No. I've not been involved that long, but I still can't remember it. It probably dates back to the Arsenal game, doesn't it? So, which I was on the other side of the fence for.
Yeah, I think we got through to the third round about 6 or 7 years ago, and we played Stoke away.
That was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was quite. It was probably longer than we think, but other than that, I think it's the Arsenal game before that. Terry, can you remember us having a decent cup run recently?
What was the season where we went to Fulham and beat them? What season was that?
That was the Arsenal.
That was
Fulham. Yes, it was Norwich, Swansea, and that was
That was probably the last time we had a proper crack at it.
10 years ago, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Nigel was alluded to the fact that of how important a cup run can be financially to the club. You know, I saw a few people once again on social media this week kind of poo-pooing it. Well, two things. Number one, financially, but number two, we're not exactly in a great place form-wise at the moment. It could have been a little thing that might have bucked us up a little bit and got us going again. But as it is now, we're sort of falling a little bit deeper into the hole.
I think as well, I mean, the bookies actually had Chesterfield as favourites for that game. I mean, I know they're flying, but they're two divisions below us. And I think, you know, I've got to be honest, the form we're in, was there many people that thought we'd actually win that game? I mean, I thought at best we were looking at a draw. You know, but as soon as that goal went in, I did think, well, this is it. I mean, I don't like to say it, but it felt like Chesterfield, a non-league team, they didn't even have to get out of second gear to win that match. And I think for me, that was the most disappointing thing of all, really.
We had very little by way of chances throughout the game. I think Tom James had a shot after about half an hour, and that's the first real threat we'd had on goal, and that was from distance. And even in the second half, when, you know, it's a cup game, so you might as well throw the cart and horses and everything at it, because you might as well lose 2 or 3 nil, rather than trying to get a replay, because a replay would have been a good result for us. And we didn't even seem to throw the kitchen sink. We just seemed to be very apathetic. We just didn't seem to have any energy about us. I'm not quite sure what was going on, really. Maybe the setup, the tactics, who knows. For me, Cooper came in to replace Dan Happy late, and obviously that does sometimes disrupt things, but really they are like for like. But actually, I thought Cooper was our best player in the first half by quite some distance. So that shows you. So what happened to the other 10? You know, psychologically, they should have been ready to go for me. Terry, can you put your finger on, can you see anything within the body language of the players or the way that you can put your finger on as to why all of a sudden things seem to have gone a little bit pear-shaped?
No, but just going back to Brandon Cooper, you know what you're going to get with him. And in a game like that, you probably need 11 like him out there. You know, he's whether he's playing good, bad or indifferent, you know the kid will always give everything. You know, I say that about him. I can't put my finger on it. I think going back probably a month and we were talking about, oh, you know, we might have a chance for playoffs here. And, you know, and Tim Caldor didn't do exactly the opposite to what we think they're going to do. No, I mean, obviously the loss of Jordan Graham is a factor, but it shouldn't be as big a factor as affecting like our whole form, you know. I just feel sometimes, if I'm honest, when you just said it there about throwing the kitchen sink at opposition, I don't think we do that enough. And like just jumping forward to Saturday, I'd like us to treat that like a cup game. Derby are probably the biggest side in our division, and I'd like to see us treat it like, say, do you know what, we're going to have a right old go at them here. We tend to play in a very, Richie likes to play in a very controlled manner, and sometimes I feel like shaking them a little bit. I think last season when we won the title, it's because we could dominate the ball, dominate possession. We didn't actually score lots of goals for a team that won the league, but we controlled games. This season, it's not as easy to do that, obviously, for obvious reasons in League One. And I think sometimes, the Wigan game, that first half was really good. Both sides had a go at each other. Theo was whipping balls in early. It looked so much better. It looked like we had something. And then we sort of fall back into this, trying to play this measured and controlled style. And I think at the moment, I'd just say, we're at home. We're going to have a big crowd there Saturday. Start fast and treat it as if it's a cup tie and have a go. That to me, would help us a little bit. But we kind of always look like we're trying to play in a measured sort of way.
It's funny you say, I was literally thinking exactly the same thing when you said about throwing the kitchen sink. I was like, it almost feels like we don't know how to, because we don't do that. Well, I mean, there's a big difference between throwing a kitchen sink and having possession. I mean, that's all we do. You know, we're 1-0 down to Chesterfield. We weren't creating any, we had the ball, plenty of the ball, but There's no point. That's pointless. There's no point praising that if you can't do anything in that final third. If you can't even, there wasn't really any half chances or anything. I don't feel that we even know how to throw the kitchen sink. It's a worry, really. And you're right. I thought exactly the same thing about last year, because for a team that won the league, we didn't score that many goals, really. Actually, I mean, I'd like to see the breakdown of teams that win the league to how many goals they scored compared to us last season.
We scored a lot of spectacular goals last year as well. We didn't, you know,
they're lucky sometimes, those as well, aren't they? You can't always get those.
I mean, it's nice to have them, but you know, I want to see us create chances and score some bread and butter goals, so to speak, and we don't score enough of them.
And this is the worry, because I think before he was with us, in my head, Richie Wellens was, you know, I know he used to talk about him a lot, and we had, but that Swindon team were just, there was goals in them, they were like amazing. And while we've always been good to watch under Wellens, we haven't had that goal, you know, whether it's because we haven't had the players to do it, but we haven't had the goals there that he seems to have had previously. And we sort of spoke about this a little bit before, and you know, I just don't know. You know, whether he's changed kind of the style he wants to do. And, you know, I still feel he doesn't 100% know his favourite starting 11, his favourite formation. I think he wants to play that 4-3-3, but, you know, he hasn't had the players available, which I'm not too sure about myself. But, you know, it's the changes this season. And I was, Gareth, I said to you before that for the first time, I've sort of not, I mean, I'm going on Saturday, I'll go every game sort of thing, but I haven't got that buzzing me at the moment that I've had for the last 18 months that Richie Wellens has been there, because I've seen three or four really disappointing performances in a row now, which I don't like to feel that way, but it's unfortunate.
My next away game is going to be Bolton Wanderers, and I'm really, really concerned that we're going to get absolutely stuffed there. But it's Orient, and you never know. There can all of a sudden, do you remember the Nottingham Forest game after we got beaten at home to Torquay when we won 3-1 away? It may be that we can pull out a result like that. Well, anyway, talking about Chesterfield, let's see what Richie had to say with regards to the performance and the result and anything else he had to say to Dave Victor post-game.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Just how disappointed are you, not only with the result, but the performance?
I thought first half was a disgrace in terms of we wanted to come up here. First 6 or 7 minutes, we was okay. I thought we was in control of the game, but then they ran a little bit harder, fought a little bit harder, and we didn't react. And we just, at the moment, little things are going against us, like Dan Hatt pulling out in the warm-up, like Sully having to go off really early in the game. We're having to ask a little bit too much of Dan Adji too early, because he's not ready yet. And obviously we've got a few other issues with people not quite fit. But I spoke to the players at half-time and I said, try and put yourself and put this into perspective, that it's a freezing cold weekend, and our supporters have saved up, worked overtime in the current crisis when it's coming up to Christmas, and the energy bills are what they are, and that first half performance is not acceptable, nowhere near. And I can take people misplacing a passing, but running, fighting, it's a non-league game. Sorry, it's a non-league ground where you have to give them credit. They've worked hard to clear the snow up, and you have to give credit to the groundsman. But you've got to fight and scrap in an away game. If you don't, we had a warning because we beat Portsmouth here in the first round. So I'm bitterly, bitterly disappointed. We need more experience in the team.
Why were they so flat?
I have no idea, because sometimes you think that players are tired and you give them days off, and you think that they're flying and they're fresh and you can work them harder. But sometimes it's down to the individuals. You need to drive yourself first and foremost. And more than anything, I'm gutted for our supporters. I'm gutted for the owners that we wanted a cup run this year. No way is that first half performed. We give it a go in the second half and we dominated territory more or less, apart from a few counter attacks. But again, be brighter. Don't just run down the line and cross it. Reverse. Run inside. Play 1-2s. I thought Monk was good when he come on. So, listen, we need to work. We need to get better. But we need some quality in January. We need some quality in January. And we need some... Jordan Gray's been a huge loss for us. And we need some experience as well.
How significant is the injury to Dan Happy?
He just pulled out with his quad in the warm-up. Obviously, probably 10, 15 minutes before the game started. It's not ideal, because Dan's a big player for us physically. I think what summed the game up is today, we conceded from an own goal. I don't think, in terms of chances, did they have many? Maybe one at the end when he was counter-attacking. We had a few occasions where we can slide people in 1v1. Didn't play the pass right. Again, our set plays too loopy, poor, really, really poor. I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all.
And Moussa Touyou, is that an injury?
Yeah, just he's been, and it's another thing, we've been, because our squad has been tested, we've been flagging people in terms of Ruel playing 90 minutes, El Mazzouni playing 90 minutes, Brownie playing 90 minutes, and we're just a little bit fatigued at the moment. Sully's been carrying an injury for probably, since the Wigan game now, so probably be about 2 weeks. So yeah, we'll have to assess him on Monday morning.
And it doesn't get any easier with Derby at Brisbane Road on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about who we play. I want to see a team that mirrors what we practice and what we work on the pitch, on the training pitch. And we're not getting that at the moment. And we knew in the summer, we knew it was going to be a more testing season than last year. And we need to ride with, our average age today was 22. That's really young, really, really young. And I know we're coming to a non-league team, but you look at a lot of their players, they've all got, some of them have got championship experience. If you look at Naylor and Grigg, and I knew coming to the game, the amount of league games that they've got in their team, it was going to be a difficult game. But we work on one thing we have to change, because personnel has been changed late. And listen, we need to get back on the bike. We need to put performance in against Derby. I think our performances in the last few, Bristol was okay, I thought Wigan was decent. So it's a home against a huge club, so we'll rest up tomorrow and we'll be back at it.
Thank you, Richard.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you for Dave Victor for sending over the interview. Well, there's quite a lot to take out of that. He's, if I can quote Richie, he said that there was a failure to fight and scrap. We need more experience, which I thought was a little bit strange, taking into account the experience that he had on the bench on Sunday with the likes of Prattley and Pickett, who's 30-odd years old, etc., etc. So I thought that was a bit more. I think he's hinting that he wants additional funds to add to the squad in January. That's why the way I see it. He does seem to, there seems to be a bit of a discord between the players and Richie with regards to implementing what he's asking them to do, whether they don't understand or whether they just simply can't do it. I'm not sure. Whether they don't, maybe there's a loss of faith in his tactics and maybe they don't think they're working and that's being taken onto the pitch. We don't know. There are so many potential speculations we can make about what's going on and why things have suddenly started to go a little bit pear-shaped. Gareth, have you got any theories?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think all of what you said, Grant, is absolutely spot on. From my point of view, and I love Richie and I think he's a very talented manager, but I've got two concerns. I think the first one is that he's never operated at this level, at this third division. I know we're talking about the FA Cup, but he's not operated in the third tier before. He moved on after Swindon, didn't he? And it didn't really work out for him. And, you know, when he moved on, that's absolutely fine. So I think he's struggling. I think part of that is, do the players really understand what he's asking them to do? And I think in constantly chopping and changing approach and players and setup, is not really helping either. I think from my point of view, I was at both games where we played a back four, so that was Bristol and against Chesterfield. And we look worse. We look worse. When we had the three at the back, and I know he doesn't like that as an approach, and we played more direct, we had some success. You know, so it's about, is the message getting through? And the other thing I think is, as he's a relatively young manager and relatively inexperienced, is he trying to distance himself from the players in the sense that, well, I told them what to do and they're not doing it, so it's not my fault? And I just wonder if that's perhaps part of it. It's about perhaps self-preservation of a little bit as well. So,
Terry?
Yeah, from my own experience, if you don't believe in what the manager is trying to do, it does affect performance and the team. If that's true, then how do you work your way out of it? You need to find a result, something that's just going to give you a bit of confidence back. Now, the one thing that you don't need the manager to tell you to do is run about and work hard. So let's start there. Let's start with the players. The onus is on them to start actually putting themselves about a little bit more. That's not down to the manager per se. That starts with them. If they're having a problem understanding the way that he wants to play, and I find that a bit hard to believe because as a footballer, you know, you kind of, most of them are intelligent as football players, you know, maybe not academically, but as footballers, they understand how football works. So it shouldn't be that difficult to understand. I just feel with Richie, as you said earlier, it's if he don't quite know what his best setup is, and we're now what we're well we're sort of coming up to halfway through the season, and we should be more. We should. Do we see a plan out there? Do we actually see what it is we're trying to do? And at the moment, I think it's a bit of a grey area for us. I think we've got to define what we're about and go with that.
He seems to be intent on retaining possession, and I understand that, and that can work to an extent, because while you've got the ball, the other team can't score. But where I don't see where we're going is to how we're going to create the cutting edge to create chances. We don't seem to be doing that, and we haven't been doing that for some time. So that's a concern for me. I appreciate that we've got injuries. I appreciate that maybe there's one or two players that are not fit for whatever reason, and we can't really go into the details of that because we're not on the training ground. So maybe he needs to adapt and maybe go a little bit more direct for a while and scrap out some results for a period rather than just play this tippy-tappy, tiki-taka football that he likes to play, because ultimately it's not reaping any dividends, is it?
I'll go back just quickly to what I said. I'd like to see us have a little bit more, be a bit more on the front foot. I thought at home this season, and I didn't see the Cambridge game earlier in the season, but that's the best first half I've seen from us, because we seemed like we were actually trying to get about the opposition. Theo was so positive in that game, and I tell you now, as a defender, it's so difficult. If you've got wide men and they're whipping balls in early or they're getting around the back of the, it's so much more difficult to defend. Where we play this very patient sort of possession game, you can get set as a defence more comfortably. And as I say, I'd like to see us move the ball a little bit quicker. With Dan Ajay, that might help now. Get the ball into him, and let's actually get at their fullbacks. Let's actually move their defence about. We never seem to make the shape of the other team change. They seem to get set, and we find it hard to break down, because, as I say, and look, far be it for me to criticise Richie, he's been brilliant for the club, but I think at the moment, I think off the field and on the field, I think the management and the players all need to have a little look at themselves and get it in their heads what we're about, and as I say, Saturday, play it like a cup game, have a right go, and I think it gets the crowd on board as well. It gets the crowd involved. The first 10 minutes in any ground, you get on. If you start fast, and the crowd are now invested in you, and they want, it's a knock on effect on everyone. At the moment, I think the crowd are a little bit, because they want something to sort of feed off of.
So this is exactly what I was about to say. Because the thing is, and since Richie's been here for say 18 months, where he's coming up to 2 years. Even in our defeats, and our defeats under Richie are rare, we really haven't had that many defeats at all. I think we've still looked good. Even when we've lost, I thought, I can't fault the way we've played there, I can't fault the effort of the players, can't fault this. And for the last half a dozen matches, I haven't thought that. And that's the thing in my head that slightly borders on the kind of the unacceptable point there. I mean, it's not unacceptable because, he's done amazing. He's still got so much credit in the bank, Richie, that it's ridiculous to even consider what I've seen online, people talking about changes. But the last half a dozen matches, and this is for me is the main problem, is that we're not even looking good. This is the thing. We've always looked good under Richie, always, even in defeat, whether it is that step up. But then, the first quarter of the season showed me that we can easily cope at this level. And that's the, because one player's injury make that much difference. Jordan Graham, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's great, but we should have someone not as that level, but that can come in and sort of do an acceptable job for us, I think.
Talking about Jordan Graham, yes, we accept that it's a big loss to the squad. However, he's assembled a squad there that should be able to cover a loss of a player. I'm just wondering, psychologically, whether he made a bit of an error by harping on about the loss of Jordan Graham, and maybe he should have covered up and just said, well, we've lost him, but we're going to get on with it, we've got a plan, etc., etc., because maybe that's gone into the minds of the players and the squad as to, oh, we've lost him now, what are we going to do, where are we going, and maybe a loss of belief. When you look at how teams adapt to loss of players, I know it's a different level, but you look at Spurs, they had the messiah, Harry Kane, he's gone, look at them now. They're actually playing better than they were under him. Their results are probably around about the same, but I actually think that there seems to be some sort of, that they know what they're doing, and there's not a focus on one man, and I think sometimes that can be the strength. Then you go down to our level. Look at Steve Evans. No one really likes him, but look at what he's got to play with and what he does. And maybe we should be looking at maybe going perhaps over the winter period being a little bit more direct and scrapping out some results. I mean, it's not the worst thing to do. I just think that I'd like to know really what the relationship is with the players and Richie, because sometimes I watch in games and they almost seem scared to do things. They're constantly referring over to the bench on a free kick or on a throw-in. What do I do now? And they need a direction rather than having the freedom to be able to play. And I wonder whether maybe he's a little bit of a control freak. I don't know. Or
well, it's funny, me and Steve Castle were sitting watching the game. And we were saying about leaders on a pitch. We were talking about thinking for yourself on a pitch. And we said that players now, are they overcoached? Are they overtrained? Do they actually know how to put something right on the pitch? Frank Clark, he didn't mind that. He would give you a general plan of the game. But if it weren't going right, he'd be disappointed if no one said, right, this is what we're going to do. You know, it's all about responsibility, you know, and having characters out there. And I feel with them, not just with Orient, I feel with the modern game sometimes at all levels that sometimes they don't know how to rectify things on a pitch because they've not been allowed to think for themselves so much. You know, they have a plan and plans have to be changed during a game. You know, games change. If you think for yourself out then, we don't look like we do that.
Well, I think we've talked enough about Chesterfield, so let's have a listen to what Mr. Victor has to say about current matters at the Orient.
Late Noyes' exit from the FA Cup, of course, disappointing, but it was the quality of the performance that hurt. Post-match, emotions running high, evident from what Richie Whelan said in his interview, describing the first half display as a disgrace. Views of the faithful on social media also demonstrated the strength of feeling. Confidence is a wonderful, invisible and fragile factor that makes such a huge difference to the beautiful game, and it flowed in every touch and pass of the runaway National League leaders Chesterfield, its absence noticeable in a nervous approach from the Orient players. Each lacked the belief required to be brave and creative on the ball. As a result, the O's lacked cohesion and ambition. Team spirit, just as delicate, just as valuable, difficult to forge, easy to erode. Since his arrival at Brisbane Road, one of Richie Whelan's many qualities is his ability to connect and unite. Back in March 22, Richie immediately communicated a sense of purpose, energy and fun, setting high standards for himself and others. It enabled him to transform a struggling team into champions, setting up occasions such as the one we're looking forward to this weekend and the visit of Derby County. Fortunes change so quickly in football, it's easy to lose perspective. This season remains about establishing ourselves back in football's third tier. We should be learning from the sides in the top eight, competing with those in the middle eight and taking points off teams in the bottom eight. Despite recent disappointing results, the O's remain difficult to beat. We end the year with three matches, the outcome of which could define whether we start 2024 looking up the table or at the clubs below us. The visit of Derby, the sort of fixture that excited us when we gained promotion on that glorious night not so long ago in North Kent. County have hit form, winning four in a six-match unbeaten run. Only Bolton have done better, and we travelled to there just before Christmas. That's after a trip to Cheltenham, a side revitalised since Dale Clark took charge. I believe that Saturday's big match could suit Richie's side after last week's painful defeat. So often over the years, I've seen the O slip up against teams we expected to beat, only to rise to the big occasion. 37 years since these clubs last met. You have to go back to 1982, the last time that Orient took maximum points off the Rams, a 3-2 victory in the old second division. It's a tremendous opportunity to recapture confidence, belief and appreciate the excitement and quality of League One. The statement that the club published on Friday was excellent. Measured, compassionate, caring, one that demonstrated a genuine understanding of mental health. I hope Danny Macklin gets the help he needs. And finally, wishing Charlie Hasler a speedy recovery. I'm looking forward to seeing him back at the place he loves, Brisbane Road.
Thank you very much to Dave Victor for his thoughts. Dave appears to be remaining optimistic. We do have a fairly tough game on paper coming up on Saturday against Derby. It's a game to look forward to. You know, we've taken ages to get back to this level. I can't, you know, it's so many years. It's so exciting to be playing the likes of Derby. And we can still hope, can't we, Gareth?
I would hope so, would be the obvious answer. But no, I mean, Yeah, this is where this is what we wanted from last season. This is why we wanted to go up, wasn't it? We wanted to play different and better teams and different approaches and face different challenges, didn't we? So if you can't relish the challenge, as supporters and as players, more importantly, then what are we doing? I am petrified at the same time, though, because they're a big club and a fairly decent side, and they're probably below their own expectations. But I think, you know, compared to where we are, I think they're probably faring fairly steadily. But the worry for me is that we end up quite considerably down early on. So a bit like against Norwich, a bit like against Portsmouth, and we end up Oxford, wasn't it? Yeah. So and we fought our way back into the Oxford game, but it was a humbling in an essence, and Portsmouth was a complete humbling, wasn't it? So I guess that's what I'm worried about. But then, being a fan, you have that slight hope that if we can get an early goal, you never know what's going to happen, do you? So,
Terry, looking forward to Derby County coming. Did you play against them for the Orient?
No, never.
I think I remember we drew 2-2 with them. I think it was before your time. Mm. It would have been way back in the early 80s. Yeah. First time you've seen them at Brisbane Road.
Yeah. And let's look at it from this point of view, the underdog mentality. You know, maybe we've got to go, yeah, let's have a right old go at them today. We're not expected to do that much, you know. At the end of the day, I've got to be honest, I've seen quite a number of the sides that are near the top, and none of them are that scary. They're good sides, but you're not going, blimey, these are really... And I think Derby could fall into that bracket where we mustn't, you know, sort of big them up too much. Obviously, they're a big club. They're probably in the wrong division from a size point of view, but they are where they are for a reason, and we're where we are for a reason. So, you know, level playing field at home. I'll go back, I'm going to harp on about it again. Start fast, get the crowd in it, quieten them down. You know, we haven't done that a lot this season. We've not really started fast on me. We give a penalty away in the first minute last time game. So, you know, let's be positive, and let's hope that the boys are really up for it, which they should. If you can't get up for Derby at home, you might as well pack it in.
Stranger things have happened, but if you look at the form guide, I think Derby have won 4 of their last 5. We've played, in our last, if we take out the cup games and the Carlisle win, we haven't won in 10. In our last 8 games, out of 24 available points, we've taken 4.
It's got 3-1 Orient written all over it, Grant.
That's my hat trick.
So it doesn't fill you with the greatest optimism, yes, but you never know. All of a sudden, the belief can get back in if we can nick an early goal. Richard, are you looking forward to the game?
I am looking forward to it, purely because I'm up in the hospitality on Saturday, to be honest. But, look, I mean, yeah, I didn't realise, I only looked the other day, and so I thought Derby were a bit lower than that. But it's just the way it seems to work, that they've hit this form now, just as we're playing them, basically. I mean, I agree with everything kind of everyone said here, Terry. I mean, if we can start early, it sounds easy, right? When we say it like this, it really does. You know, that's all Richie's got to say to them. Like, first 10 minutes, go for it. Get the crowd on your side and you'll do really well. But, you know, unfortunately, it's never as easy as that. So, you know, that in an ideal world, I mean, I can see, you know, Dan AJ starting maybe on Saturday with the, you know, with the fact that Sotiri, we're told, out, Drinan's out. I could possibly see him starting on the right, Theo on the left, or switching over. Maybe Piggott down the middle. I think Shaq Fulder. I know Sunday there was a lot of anonymous players there, but I think maybe he might come out of the firing line. I'd like to see Galbraith come back in and have that trio with El Mizouni and Brown that looked so good a couple of months ago. I mean, we were doing well, and now I don't know why that was broken up. I mean, you know, Galbraith was dropped to the bench. Then I know he got injured, but unless he did have a virus or something and we weren't told, and that's the reason he was out. But I don't get why he was bought out of it, because I thought he looked really, really good. But, you know, I'd like to see those back in. My worry, I have to be honest, is that I actually worry about our fullbacks, because I don't think we look strong in those areas at all. Sweeney, I know he missed a lot, but he's one of these players I think he has to be playing to hit form. And just bringing him in occasionally, it just isn't working for him. He needs a run, but then I think he'll end up costing us to get fit enough to be in that run. Tom James has been okay, but Rob Hunt, I think, has struggled this season a little bit. You know, he's moving from right to left. They're part of a back three, same as Tom James. So the fullbacks are a bit of a concern for me, I have to be honest. And we all know that Sol's hit a bit of a sticky patch. I mean, I'm still a big fan of Sol Brim, but, you know, the penalty saved the other week, but he's made a couple of errors, but, you know, he's still more than good enough in my eyes.
Talking about Sol Brim, I did read on media that apparently Middlesbrough are on the verge of recalling him. Whether that's correct or not, obviously He's a decent League One keeper in my view, and it would upset the apple cart a little bit. Maybe we can bring in a loan replacement if he goes back, and we'd be allowed to do that. But I'm not sure whether that's going to happen.
The only thing I will say about that, I read something about this, and apparently, because Middlesbrough have lost a keeper injured, but they've got three keepers out on loan. And it's kind of, I think they've got a guy at Hearts or somewhere that's actually a lot more senior than Solbrin. So I did read another thing that said if they did call anyone back, it would probably be that keeper rather than Solbrin. But us and someone else at our kind of level have got another keeper on loan. And I hope it's not. I'd be more than happy to keep him for the rest of the season.
I think we all would. He's obviously had a lot to live up to with Lawrence Vigouroux, that to be fair, but he's done a good job. I noticed actually that over the last couple of games he's come in to collect crosses better than he was. He looks a bit more confident on those, so I think he is improving because he's getting the game time at the level. Ethan Galbraith, I think the club tried to keep their cards close to their chest with regards to what's happening with players. They don't want to reveal what's happening to the opposition, but it's a bit of a concern. No one really knows what's going on because he did. For me, every time I've seen him, technically, for me, he looks like the best player in the club on the ball. And I think we would like to see him playing, but for whatever reason, if he's ill or there's an injury or something or other, then we have to trust the management to know when or not to play him. It's one of those things. Talking about going forward to the Derby game, it may well come down to the fact that we might be able to get a set piece or two early on in the game. We don't seem to be doing very well with our set pieces. I think it was 11 corners at Bristol Rovers and literally nothing created. We didn't have as many on Sunday. I didn't count them, but again, not much being created from any sort of set piece other than the fact that, to be fair, at Bristol Rovers we did score from a free kick late on, although it was an own goal, which is our top scorer over the last few weeks.
Are you saying we might need a set-piece coach? Oh, wait a minute.
I'm not sure. Again, it's a bit of a secret. I understand that he is coming to work predominantly with the younger players and help out with the set-pieces rather than be a designated set-piece coach. I don't think the club would have a budget to have just a designated set-piece coach and do nothing else. So maybe we're being a bit harsh. But what we can say is that we can't really see any improvement since he's come in. And it's a little bit frustrating because, as I say, there are some clubs, the likes of West Ham, etc., that can convert a lot of corners and free kicks into goals. And maybe we could do a little bit better. Maybe just a slightly higher conversion rate would mean our results would improve. Gareth, have you got any views on that?
I wholeheartedly agree, Grant, to be honest. And the other thing I suggest is Tom James's long throws are nowhere near as effective as everybody seems to believe. You know, he doesn't actually reach the goal mouth with any of them. We never really create any danger from them. So, yeah, it's fine doing it if it's a tactic that works, but I wonder why we persevere with this and this is not a better way of approaching it. And I think perhaps what we need to do in all set pieces, including throw-ins, is mix it up a bit and change what we're doing and try and catch people off guard. Because, you know, if a throw goes in on the right or the left, if we win a throw on the right or the left and it's round about the penalty area, what are we going to do? We can all tell you, James is going to go over there and take it. The first man on the edge of the 6-yard box is going to head it away, and that'll be it.
So I don't think we rough up people enough in and around the area. And occasionally it might be a bit frustrating that we give away a free kick. Cooper seems to be the one. He got thrown up front when we were losing and it was against Lincoln, I think it was. Or when losing, it was 0-0 and he got thrown up front. And actually he got more knockdowns and managed to get a few more scraps than any of our forwards. Piggott doesn't seem to be that type of aggressive player that maybe sometimes that we need. I don't like to be too basic because I appreciate that there's more to it than that, but sometimes that's what you need, Terry.
Yeah, the thing is with Joe Piggott is technically he's actually good. I watch him, he holds the ball up well, but I've said he needs to put himself about a bit more. You know, I know that sounds, you know, a bit sort of 80s and 90s, but football's still a physical game. All right, you can't get away with the tackles, you can, but you still can, you know, lean into people, and he doesn't really do that. When I see him jump, he sort of just jumps you know, you need something to jump into a player, that being obvious, but just let him know you're there. He's too nice. He looks too nice when he plays. And I think the boy actually isn't a bad player. I actually, as I say, technically I watch him, he holds the ball up well. But I just say, sometimes you just need to fight and scrap a little bit more, make it a bit more difficult for their centre-halves, which I don't think he does enough of that at the moment.
Maybe we need a reincarnation of Paul Shinners.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, going back to Mark Cooper was so good at that. He was so good at sort of, you know, I know he looked like he sort of lollocked about, but he would get himself up against a defender.
And he was an orthodox number nine,
yeah,
wasn't
he? And what he would do also, he would not only sort of be physical, but he would actually chest it and get it under control. You know, technically, he didn't look like he was brilliant in that sense, but his effectiveness was second to none in that league.
Well, it's a tough game, and, you know, the form isn't great. I'm not saying for one minute that we should be doing what the club should be thinking about changing things for the manager. We must remember what Richie's done already. He's got, as Richard said, he's got a good credit in the bank. But we are struggling a little bit, and this form, run of form that we're having at the moment, isn't that dissimilar to the run of form we had under Kenny Jackett before he was given the boot. I'm not saying that Richie should be sacked.
No.
I'm just drawing a comparison between the two. And really, we need to start turning it around, because once it starts getting to 15 games without a win, then it can start to become really, really difficult. And sometimes you need a little bit of an injection from somewhere, a change, in order to get your form back.
A question, just an honest question. Do we think enough of our players are good enough for this level?
I think that we're suffering a little bit from what we did with the National League when we went up to League Two. I think that we were a little bit too faithful to some of the players, and we maybe should have been a bit harsher and maybe put in maybe two or three new bodies compared to some of the ones that we retained. Yeah. And I don't wish that, I don't mean that to be disrespectful at all, because we're eternally grateful, because we had a fantastic season last season and every one of the squad contributed.
Yeah. Grant, that's the nature of the beast, mate. You know, you go up, that's the harsh thing. The boys that took you up might not be able to take you to the next level. You're always trying to get to the next level. And unfortunately, that's part and parcel of football. And that's why I asked the question, are there boys there that maybe aren't quite... I mean, they're not bad players. I'm not saying that for one minute. But this standard now, are they more League Two players or are they League One players? And I think, as you say, there might be a few there that may need to be moved on eventually. You know, I still think we lack a bit of pace in our team at the back as well. I think we lack genuine pace at the back, and that's why sometimes we're getting hurt in the fullback areas.
I think the coaching staff and a lot of the players are still very much in a learning process, and sometimes you have to allow them to adapt to the level, and it may well work out, but so there's always an element of a gamble there, and maybe the budget didn't stretch to, you know, top level League One players, and we had to take a little bit of a gamble there. Maybe some of them aren't paying off, but it's still early days. We can still turn it round, and if we're on, say, 30, 32 points by the turn of the new year, I'll still be quite happy.
The thing about it is that if you'd have offered where we are at the start of the season, we'd have said, yeah, that's okay. But I think it's the fact that we're in this run. That's the worry. It, you know, if we'd have, you know, been on the same points, but we'd got there, like, win one, lose one, but we're not. We're actually in a losing process. And I think that's what our concern is the confidence of the manager in his players and the players in the manager. You know, maybe there isn't a problem, maybe we're sort of barking up the wrong tree, but it would that's what it would appear at the moment a little bit. There's a little bit of, I won't say a crisis of confidence, but there's just a small problem there that can get changed so quickly. With, you know, we win at the weekend, and say it can change everything. You know,
that's the frustration. We had the chance at Chesterfield, I think, to maybe turn the four round by getting that result, and we just didn't seem to be that bothered about it. So I think it's about time now that we heard from Matt Roper, because I imagine that he's got pretty much a good rant this week after what's gone on the weekend.
If ever there was a song written for the O's, then Yaz and her plastic population, no, we're not talking about the home crowds at Man City, it was this one, and she had it right back in the 80s. Yes, with the current run of form resembling the weather, the only way has to be up for in a rather pitiful display at Chesterfield, as they saw off another League One side to book their place at Elton John's Watford in January. We might have to contend with a free Saturday. Perhaps we could play Lincoln again. Might get the right result this time. The 90 minutes at Chesterfield was likely the worst performance during Richie Whelan's reign so far. And he pulled no punches in answer to Dave Victor's first question about performance, where he paid tribute to the fans that had spent good time and money witnessing a display more akin to something from the mid-90s, when away wins came about as often as pandemics. For my money, it wasn't that we did lots amazingly wrong. It was the fact that there was nothing there. No passion, no get up and go, no spark. As O's fans, we can accept poor players and useless football. It comes with the territory. But what will never be acceptable is the willingness to take to the pitch and not play for the badge. During the 90s, when I was travelling the length and breadth of the country watching us, and my fanzine was in its infancy, I used to get taken to task a fair bit by supporters who believed I saw football as simplistic, and that it wasn't all about beating out the chest, rolling up the sleeves, and wanted to put in nothing less than 100% effort. Yes, of course, the beautiful game has many more components, but as I repeatedly remind my under-16 girls team, rule number one is you have to want to be out there on that pitch. There's no grey area here, and supporters and no doubt the management team won't accept anything less than playing for the shirt for every minute between 1 and 90. Now, to balance this out, I don't think for one minute those players, and particularly those on Sunday, deliberately set out to put in such a lacklustre performance. Whelans has mentioned several times now that we're a young team, a young squad still learning. He is right, of course, but with youngsters, maybe they can hide a little bit. Maybe they're scared to take a game by the bull of the horns and really fire up the other 10 players on the pitch. You could be forgiven about going back to an old 90s phrase about you don't win anything with kids. However, these kids and this team with further additions certainly do have ability. But on a cold Sabbath up north, with what, let's face it, is still a non-league side, we were maybe doomed to defeat before a ball was even kicked. And experience maybe needed to come to the fore. Again, it comes back to executing the management analysis and game plan, but having that fire in the belly to go out and do the job in front of them would probably have seen us into round three. The winless run is concerning, no more than that. For the umpteenth time this season, and although I say this without 100% confidence that the season could end in disaster, talk of relegation, we've got it all wrong, and even Whelan's not being good enough for this level is very premature. And certainly at the moment, that last line of Richie not being the man for the job is utter craze balls. January will be important, but of course we do have to see off several opponents before we even get there. We have a real tough mix of tests coming up. Derby won't be easy. Bolton away is a really tough one. And you've got horribly tricky games such as Cheltenham away and Wickham at home, where we certainly really do need to be picking up six from at least those two. Earlier in the season before the Exeter game, I called on this very show for a reset. Hitting that restart button, simplifying everything where perhaps performances were not as important as sticking a couple of victories in the win column. I think we're at that point again. This Saturday, I'm of the opinion we could put in a proper turgid performance, but as long as the full-time result wins home win, then I'm sure we'll all take it. January and the transfer window, one of our directors, Marshall Taylor, a very statistics-based and competent financial man, issued an open request on social media to those complaining about the budget being spent in the summer, leaving the cupboard a bit bare this new year, to contact him and to go through some basic financials to show how, as a club, we lose £40,000 a week. Yes, just let that sink in for a minute. What other business would be allowed by banks, shareholders, investors to lose an eye-watering £200,000 a month, where the only shallow promise of even attempting to balance the books would be, in this instance, winning two matches of football and getting one of, say, six clubs out of 63 pulled from a plastic rotunda before your own ball comes out? Try taking a business plan like that to a bank today and ask for £1.8 million. You'll get laughed out of the office and they'll be calling for the men in white coats. I've taken Marshall up on his very open and honest offer, and following an interview with him later this week, I will be presenting a very factual article in the fanzine in January, and we'll touch upon some of the more interesting aspects on the Oran Hour in coming weeks. I hope to couple this with an interview with sporting director Martin Ling, which will make for a really good and interesting special feature for Pandemonium Fanzine in the new year, and I urge fans to come and find me and buy a copy, as I also urge supporters to come and grab our latest issue out this Saturday when the Rams visit for the first time in almost 40 years. Well, that's just about it for this week's rant, but before I go, I can't say goodbye without wishing the legend that is Charlie Hazard the very, very best. A stalwart fan, an amazing groundsman, all-round decent bloke. Charlie is pretty ill in hospital at the moment, and I'm sure you'll all join me in wishing him the speediest of recoveries. So, as we get the decorations out and listen to endless replays of Wham, the Pogues and Mariah Carey picking up their Christmas royalties checks, take 2 minutes to download Yaz. Sing along in the car, sing along at home, because with the O's, the only way is up. Up the mighty O's.
Thank you, Mr. Roper, for your rant. Let's hope that we can pick up form. So, guys, our next five games are Derby at home, Cheltenham away, Bolton away, Wickham at home, and then Cambridge away on New Year's Day. Gareth, your points estimate for those five games?
I was going to say at least the Cheltenham game should be fairly straightforward. Yeah, I was hoping so, but I mean, it depends, doesn't it? I think what we need is we need a form changer, as they'd probably say across the pond. We need to get results when it's not expected, and a boost in confidence, a boost of momentum, and perhaps, you know, a win by more than one goal. You know, and playing really well and playing vibrant attacking football, and, you know, something for us all to get behind. Where that's going to come, I don't know. If it were to come early in this run, then that gives us a good start. If we get humbled by Derby, if we go to Cheltenham and don't play very well and don't get anything, if we get battered by Bolton, then it's going to start to get really worrying, isn't it, and really miserable. So I think I'm not going to estimate the points, but I am going to say that we need to win, and we need to win soon to get ourselves going again, really. I think that's probably my conclusion on it.
I did miss Cheltenham as well on Boxing Day. Yeah, forgive me for that. So we're currently on 23 points from 20 games. So for me, if we can come out through Cambridge on New Year's Day in excess of 30 points, which is just over a point per game, I still think we're in a reasonable position. Terry?
Yeah, two wins and a draw. You know, 7 points from them games, you go, okay, because it'll probably keep us that little buffer between us and getting drawn into the relegation dogfight, which you don't want to do for obvious reasons. As Gareth said, you get a good start to that period, and it can change everything. We don't know what the future holds, obviously, but somewhere, I mean, the Cheltenham game looks pivotal. It's not a relegation 6 point, of course it's not, but for our confidence, if we could go there and get a result there, I think that will really help us going into the festive period.
I like to be positive, but that's a game that really we cannot lose. Mm-hmm. If we went there and scrapped out a horrible 0-0, I think we'd probably take that now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the games, Derby at home and the Bolton away, and okay, if we get beat there, you go, although we don't want to get beat, but if you get beat at Cheltenham, then you do start to worry a little bit, you know.
The game against Wickham away, we lost 3-2, and that was a really open, entertaining game, and they weren't particularly impressive to me. So again, that's a big opportunity amongst this run of games for us to pick up a home win. Richard, have you got any thoughts about our forthcoming games going through to the Christmas period?
Yeah, I mean, looking at those, I mean, I think all the home games, you've got to be looking at least a point, I would say. I mean, it's saying something now that I'm looking at that Cheltenham game thinking I don't expect anything there because of the upturn in fortunes that they've had, to be honest. The Bolton one, I'm almost writing that off now. The rest of them at home, yeah, I mean, Charlton, you know, they've found some form. Wickham, if they're still with their manager, because they've hit a dodgy patch, actually. I think they're level points with us. Their fans are getting restless like ours are, you know. So I think that could be, you know, things could change by that game for them, because, you know, they're looking at that. Cambridge have just sacked their manager. Local game, I mean, you know, I think those two, that's 6 points for those two, Wickham and Cambridge. If we can get one more win of those four games before that, then I'd be more than happy with 9 points over those six, I think.
And I think 9 points would put us on 32, and that really would be a good place to go for the rest of the season, taking into account the points deduction. I think that if we've got a five in front of the number but come the end of the season, we should be okay. So fingers crossed with that. During Matt's rant just now, he did touch upon them. I would also like to mention, I think on behalf of the Orient Owl, send our very, very best wishes to our former groundsman, Charlie Hasler, who's been unwell and is, I think, still in hospital at present. He's there every single game. I've never not seen him at a game when I've gone to the Orient, and I don't go to every one. He's a real stalwart fan, on top of the fact that he was a really, really good groundsman. I remember Arsenal tried to poach him going back in the days, and he said, no, I love the Orient, I'm going to stay at the Orient. Terry, I imagine you have some memories of Charlie when you were playing.
Yeah, I send the best wishes of all the boys that I played with who know Charlie. I actually had a go at him a couple of months ago. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the trouble is, Charles, I said, your pitches were so good that if you give a bad pass, you could look down at it and go, look at the pitch, because it was a bowling green. So he laughed. But, you know, we talk about the word club legend. And for me, he's an absolute club legend. He was a supporter long before he was the groundsman. He's gone home and away. God knows how many Orient games he's had to suffer through in the main. And the man, for me, is what clubs like Orient are about. You know, he's the lifeblood of a club. And I sincerely wish him all the best in his recovery. And let's hope he's back over there soon.
Well, his pitches were fantastic, and he used to use a lot of sand from my memory. But obviously now we've got this brand new pitch that, you know, care of Spurs, etc. We've had. I wonder what he makes of that. I wonder whether he's seen it, what he makes of it. But it does seem to be a really, really good service. So again, Gareth, there's no excuses, are there?
There's no excuses, but we probably need to find some, don't we? Having said that, the pitch at Chesterfield wasn't terrible, but obviously because of the conditions, it wasn't great. So perhaps that didn't suit us. But, you know, so, yeah, no excuses for the pitch we had at Brisbane Road.
Well done to the Orient fans, as well as the Chesterfield ones, of course, for coming out and helping to clear the snow, because I was on the supporters' coach and we were saying, is it on, is it off? We were wondering whether the game could go ahead. But ultimately, the pitch was in pretty good condition, unfortunately. Because we ended up having to watch that load of rubbish for 90 minutes. So we have a minute to go. I just indulge you all and just to wish a happy birthday to my mum, who's 82 tomorrow. And wishing you all a really good game on Saturday against Derby, those that are going over or streaming the game or otherwise. Get behind the boys, fingers crossed that we can go away. You never know, we can nick 3 points and our season can turn round literally on a shoestring like that, and away we go. Gareth, any thoughts before we sign off? What's your prediction for Saturday?
I'm going to throw pessimism into the wind and say we're going to win 2-0. And I'm going to have a lie down.
Terry?
Yeah, let's stay positive. Let's hope 2-1 the O's.
Richard?
I'll stay, for me, positive. I'm going to go with 1-1, I think, on Saturday.
Well done, Rich.
I thought you were going to say 2-0 to them.
I think... I remember when we drew 2-2 with them, and it was back in the early 80s when they were down again. I think it was the old third division at that point, and that was a really good game. So I'm going to go with 2-2. So wishing everyone all the best, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. And you know where we can be found when Saturday comes again. We'll be trying to do our best to cheer on those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from E10. Lay an Orient from E10. This is our club and we are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We were formed in 1881, Clancy Orient, and so begun the old story, and on it runs. We're like an Orient from E10. Whatever challenge has come our way, the Orient faithful are here to stay. We will live to fight another day. We're like an Orient from E10. Like an Orient from E10. This is our club and we are proud.
So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. So you know where we can be found when Saturday comes again. We'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from E10. Lay an Orient from E10. Lay an Orient. Lay an Orient.